So you see the pasuk there? It says Vayigash Elav Yehud. You see how the first words there are written in big?
Yeah.
So the cantillation signs, the tami on the top, you see? Half circle, close like prens, kilo. That's called, the first one's called Kadma V'Azla. The second one's called Azla.
On top of the gimel?
Right. Right. On top of the gimel was called Kadma. On top of the lamed is called Azla. Vayigash Elav. Right? And then the one underneath, on top of the dalet, Yehuda, that's called a revi. Kadma, Azla, revi. And then the next one is called Zarka. Vayomer, Bi Adoni. And the one underneath the base is called Munach. And the top of the Yud is called Segol. It looks like an upside down Segol. Okay, let's not be picky. But if you turn it upside down, it's a segol, like it's an S sound, So it's Kadma Vazla Yehuda Vayom Biadoni. So the Gra says, see the Gra that's called Elio and he says, Vayigashi love Yehuda Vayom Biadoni. Hineha Naginos, the cantillation sounds. Al Hamilos Halalu, Him Kadma Vazla Revi Zarka Munach Segol. Right? That's the names of cantillation sounds. The tamim, the cantillation sounds, I mean, I'm not a bucky in this, I don't know it at all, right, really. But the cantillation sounds are the source, they're called tamim. Just like, you have tam in your mouth, you taste something. There's the food that you eat, that you consume, that gives you nourishment. Flavor, it's called a tam. These are called tami. In other words, the flavor, the feeling in the words is hidden in the tami. They're the letters, then there are the vowels of the letters, how to pronounce them, and then the cantillation sounds, the tamim, are the flavor, the emotion, the underlying thing that's going on over here. So the Gra says, "Yesh lefarish mishum d'lemala." In the previous parsha, Parshas Miketz, Ksiv, "Sha'omer Yehuda Yaakov Aviv, im lo hevi siv elecha v'itzagti lefanecha v'chatasi lecha kol ayomim." Yehuda convinced his father to send Binyamin with him. He said, "Because if I don't bring him back, then I will sin for you, be considered sinning you all the days." The Isva Medrash, Rashi brings it down over there. The Chatasi Lecha Kol Hayomim, Hainu Lolom Haba. I will be in a state of sin vis-a-vis you. Of state, it's not really a state of sin. To be a chait is a sin. It's true. We call a chait is a sin. But what type of sin is a chait? A chait is a shogeg. What does it mean to be chote? So it comes from the word, the phrase lachti et hamatara. When you fire an arrow and you miss the mark, that's called lachti. In other words, I'm off. That's what a chet is. I'm off. I missed the mark. The chatasi means to be deficient. In other words, I'm not where I should be. I'm deficient. I find a similar term in Sefer Shmuel. Yeah. Shmulachim, really. So I'm not sure what to say. Shmulachim, where they use the terminology the chataim. In other words, we're deficient. We're not in the right place. So when Yehuda said, "If I don't bring him back, I recognize it's my deficiency. I will be deficient. I'll be deficient." So he says, "Listen to the grosses. This is brilliant." Shama Yehuda Yaakov Aviv Im Lo Hevi Sive Lecha. If I don't bring him back to you and I present him before you, I will have sinned all the days. I've sinned all the days. I'll be deficient in olam haba. V'zosi merumas banaginos ha'elem. And this is hinted to in these cantillation sounds. Kadma v'ozla. To go, come forward and to go. Kadma, to present yourself forward, and to ozla, and to walk forward. That's in Aramaic. Revi. Who is the Revi? The fourth son. The fourth son came forward. That's Yehuda. Kadma v'ozla v'revi. The fourth son came forward to Yosef here, right? Because what is Yosef saying? Yosef is saying, Binyamin will remain a slave, and all the rest of you go home. All of a sudden, Yehuda steps forward. Vayigash elav Yehuda, vayomer bi Adoni. Right? Please, my master. He said, the fourth son, the Revi, Kadma v'ozla, he came forward. He came forward. Vayomer. The cantillation sound of a yomer is zarka, right? Zarka. What's zarka? To resurrect, to throw away. Zarka. We call it munach segol.
Wait a minute. I don't understand. This is the gra's pshat.
The gra is saying that Yehuda is explaining to Yosef, why am I coming forward here? And this is, you made a reasonable statement. You recall, we made you an offer. I made you an offer. That, what he calls, will all be slaves to you.
Yehuda's talking to Yosef.
And right, last week's, the end of week's book, before it happens, they find the chalice, the goblet of Yosef in the bag of Binyamin. So, originally he says, we'll all be slaves, and the person who stole it will die.
So this person, when Yehuda is not talking to, Yaakov is talking to Yosef.
Yaakov is back in Eretz Yisrael. Yehuda comes forward to Yosef. And he says, Be Adoni, please, my master. So the Gra says, the cantillation sounds are Kadma v'ozla, right? To what he calls, present yourself forward. Kadma, what he calls, to be himself. V'ozla, he comes forward to Yosef. Yehuda, and the cantillation sound of Yehuda is the Revi. Yehuda is the fourth son. So Yehuda is saying, why am I the fourth son? Not Reuben, not Shimon, not Levi, the first three sons. I, the fourth son, I'm coming forward. Why? Because Zarka, because I threw away Munach Segol, my ability to be in a state of peace, of Menucha, of tranquility, Segol, with the Am Segula, with the Jewish people, the special people. I threw it away. I know that I said, if I don't come back with Binyamin, right, then I have sinned for you all the days. I'll be deficient in the Olam HaEmes. I'll be deficient in my connection to you. I'll be deficient in Olam HaBa.
This is the story of the cantillations above.
Right. He says, embedded in the cantillation sounds is the underlying emotion, the underlying message over here in the words that Yehuda says. Right? Yehuda says, the whole beginning of the parsha, he just goes over the whole story. He chazes over the whole story. There's no chiddush in there. Because he's getting ready to say, it's gotta be me. Because I will not return without my brother. Because I took responsibility for it. I took responsibility for him. And I said, if I don't come back with him, if I come back and he's not with me, then I am, I forfeit. Right? I forfeit my connection, right, to the ultimate destiny of my father and his children and the Jewish people, etc.
That's it.
Okay, that's what the Gra says.
That's all
from the Kol Eliyahu. Four
cantillations.
Right.
One, two, three, four, five.
Right, five. So it's Kadma on top of a Yigash. Ozla, Kadma, he came forward. Ozla, he moved, he walked forward. Uh-huh. He went. Revi, on top of Yehuda, the fourth son. On top of the Yomer is Zarka, I threw away. B Adoni. Underneath the B is Munach. Right? I have what he called the Menucha. The rest. Adoni, Segol. Segol. Right? Segula. The Am Segula. Klal Yisrael called the special, the precious nation. The treasured nation. I come forward, the fourth son, Why am I coming forward? Because I said I would take responsibility, and if I don't come back with them, I have thrown away my resting place with the nation, the treasured nation.
And Segol is threw away?
Sudo, Zarka, on top of Ayomer.
What is Segol?
Segol is Segula. Segula is like a special nation. Like like a treasure. A school is a treasure. Underneath the B is the Munach. I've given away my Menucha with the Am Segula. I've given away my tranquility with the treasured nation.
Zorka was to give away.
Zorka is to throw away, really. Zrok. Right? Zrok. Throw away.
Very nice. Okay.
So now let's look at the evolution of what's going on over here. This pasuk is in Vayeshev. The next pasuk, right? With the story of Yosef is in Vayeshev, in Miketz, in Vayigash, that's this week's parsha, and next week in Vayechi. The story of Yosef, his brother, is Yaakov. So here it says in Vayeshev. This is after Yosef has disappeared. They all rose up to console him, to console Yaakov. Yosef was gone. Right, the next very part right here.
Okay.
Right. Liisnachim. He refused to accept consolation.
Cool.
Yaakov. Vayomer ki ered el bini avel sheola. I will go down to my son in a state of mourning. Sheola. Sheola is the grave. But Sheol was also a reference to Gehenna. Go to Gehenna. So Rashi says over there in Vayeshev, why are you talking about Gehenna? So Rashi says because Yaakov Vinu knew Baruch HaKodesh, that if none of his children, God forbid, died in his lifetime, he wouldn't see Gehenna. Right? Why? It's such a funny thing. We've talked about this before. It's like under normal circumstances, a person who, you know, person, Rachman Islam, we shouldn't know from him, loses a child. So that's an incredible kapara. Why, in the case of Yaakov, if he loses a child, he goes to Gehenna? It's the exact opposite, it's counterintuitive, right? But the idea is he knew that his job description was to build a family upon the principles that he received from his father, his grandfather, from Avraham Yitzchak, and to imbue them with the truth. Emes, which is his particular Mida, right, to imbue an entire family from which would be built the Jewish people. If one of his children dies in his lifetime, right, he knew that him personally, this is not you can say it about anybody else in the world, but about him personally, he knew that he botched the job. That means he was deficient. So he accepted upon himself, you know, a velus. Accept upon himself to mourn until he died, right? Perhaps that'll be a kapara. It means whatever he did wrong, that his son Yosef, his favorite son, should disappear, right? So maybe that'll his going down to his grave, you know, Avelis, perhaps that'll cleanse him of whatever deficiency he did. He'll still be able to pull out of the fire. His job description was to build the Jewish people. Okay. That's what he thought. And then the Sfarno talks about the idea, right, because he felt he bore a certain responsibility for having sent Yosef to find his brothers in Shechem, and he knew that the brothers were ticked off at him, etc. Then, if you go on to Parshas Miketz, so what happens? What happened in the story? The famine starts, they go down to Egypt. Yosef, whom they don't know is Yosef, puts Shimon in prison. They come back, they say, unless we come back with Binyamin, he's not going to give us Shimon. He won't give us back Shimon, and we'll be able to get more food from him. And Reuven tries to convince Yaakov, send him down.
Why did they make such a big deal
about that? About Reuven?
Yeah.
What do you mean? Big deal. That was a foolish thing to say?
Yeah.
I don't think it's as foolish as what he called it as it sounds. in the context, what do you call it? What Yaakov calls it foolish. But the idea is that Yaakov felt. Yaakov felt that there was enmity between them, between the brothers, and that's the source of the whole problem. And really, they didn't care that Yosef was gone. They didn't care enough for each other. So Reuven says to him, "I'll prove to you, Rekord, that I care. I'll prove to you that I care, right? If I don't come back with Binyamin, I forfeit my two sons. I mean, not that he expects Yaakov was going to kill his two sons,
right.
But even if they die, right? And I'm willing to make a statement like that because I care about him. I care about him. I care about Yosef, right? I care about Yosef. I care about David Yeshimon. I care about my brothers, etc." Yaakov says, "You know, that doesn't help, right? You're saying that you want to show me that you're willing to bear more suffering, right? You're even your two sons disappeared to prove to me that you care. That's not the point. That's not enough. And if he says to him, my son is not going with you. Later on, they run out of food. And Yosef, right? And I'm sorry, and Yaakov, right? They come to Yaakov and say, we're not going unless we have Binyamin. Now previously he had said to them Reuven made his offer, he said, if Binyamin disappears, so then I will go down to note, it doesn't say at this time the Avel Sha'ola, see the Pasuk says over here B'yogon. Right here it says when Yosef versus Reuven said Avel Sha'ola, and here it says Yogon Sha'ola. The idea of Yogon is sadness, right? Because if Binyamin disappears, and Binyamin I know didn't do any sin at all, so beforehand, you know, I thought, okay, I bore some responsibility, but I know that Yosef was speaking ill of his brothers. Maybe it's all on him. Right? Maybe I haven't botched. That wasn't told when I botched the job. Right. We talked about last week. But now, if Binyamin disappears, I know he didn't do anything wrong. I know it's all on me. That means sadness. Yogon is sadness. That means I really messed up. That I'm finished. Mm-hmm. Then Yehuda comes along, right? And he says, I'll take responsibility for him. Why does he accept Yehuda? Because that's the point. In other words, the whole problem is that they didn't feel a sense of responsibility for one another. That's a failure. Yaakov feels that's a failure on his part. If, however, he's got a son who's willing to say, I take responsibility, then that's rebuilding. It's not going to do what Yaakov. It's not like Yaakov is, you know, okay, if you allow me to kill your two sons, Reuven, that I won't accept. But if Yehuda says he's willing to forfeit his olamaba, okay, fine, that's enough of a sacrifice. It's not that enough. How does that help Yaakov? Yehuda doesn't have a chelik olamaba, that helps Yaakov? That doesn't help him. But because Yehuda is willing to state, I'm willing to bite the bullet for my brother. I'm willing to take responsibility for him. Not just to show you that I'm willing to record that you could kill my two sons like Reuven said. I'm taking responsibility for him because we're all one. Yaakov says, now you're talking. That shows a rebuilding of my family, which was my job description. Now I know there's hope. That's why he accepts it. So that's all what we saw in Vayeshev and in Mikes. Look down now to the two psukim over here. This is already Vayigash. Yehuda says to Yosef, who he doesn't know is Yosef, obviously. He says, "Listen, this is what my father said to me." He says, "Lokachtem gam ezeh." My father said to me, "If you take also this one, i.e., Binyamin." Me'im panai from before me, the karoa son, and something befalls him, something bad befalls him. V'raditem esivasi b'ra'a sha'ola. Now he says b'ra'a sha'ola. In other words, I will go down to my grave in a state of ra'a, of deficiency, of evil, of bad, of deficiency. So therefore, Yehuda continues and says, Yosef, Vahaya, if I go back to Eretz Yisrael without Binyamin, Vahaya kir oso, when he sees Ke'en Anar, that Binyamin is not with me, Bameis, he's going to die right down the spot. Vahorido avadecha, and that means all of us will be responsible. Save us, either bringing our father in his old age down to his death, right, in sadness.
It's what he's telling Yosef.
This is telling Yosef, right? I'm not doing this. I'm not returning without Binyamin, right? Because I return, I know he'll die. And he'll go down, he'll die out of sadness. And I won't do that. So now, says it's Fasemis. Pasuk. Right, the last Fasemis said on the page. Pasuk, he ain't an arba mace. He'll see that Binyamin is not with him, the youth is not with him, and he'll die. The Kosha says it's Fasemis.
Wait, he says it'd be out for home, Binyamin and Shimon.
Well, again, but Binyamin is really caught, is you know, Shimon already, he's gone already. Right? Well, maybe he will, maybe he's gone, but Binyamin doesn't come back. And again, as long as he was able to think to himself, okay, listen, maybe it's not because I failed. They had their own sins. Yosef spoke about his brothers. Shimon used his violence against Shechem. Okay, but Binyamin did nothing wrong. If Binyamin disappears, that means that's me. That's all my fault. That means I failed, right? I had a world class responsibility to carry upon my shoulders the legacy of Avram, the legacy of Yitzchak, and now if Binyamin is taken, I see I failed. It's like Adam Rishon Lahavdil, what do you call it? You know, it's Lahavdil. Like Adam Rishon knowing I ate from the Eitz Hadas, I failed. I destroyed the world. So Sfas Emes says the Kasha. How did Yehuda know that Yaakov never said, I'm going to die? Right? Immediately, if I see that Binyamin is not there. How did Yehuda know that Yaakov would die? Benira says the Sfas Emesh. Shaloma zemimash omer lehem Yaakov avinu olav shalom. Vekel shakai yiten lachem rachmim. When Yaakov sends Binyamin down with him, he says, Kel shakai. Will give you rachamim in the eyes of this leader in Egypt and allow you to return with Binyamin and Shem, hopefully. So Rashi explains, but we talked about this last week.
When did Yosef say this? Oh, that was the bracha he gave to Yehuda?
He said to Yehuda, right before they went down, sent to Yehuda and also all the brothers, that Kael Shakai should give you rachamim, should inspire this viceroy, whoever he is, in Egypt, have rachamim on you, right? And everybody caught, and Kel Shakai should have, and God should have rachamim on you, and you should be able to come back with your brothers. So Rashi says, why did he use the name Kel Shakai? So Rashi says, just like Hashem said, when the world, this we talked about last week, right? But the Shem Shakai, right? Enough. The world shouldn't expand anymore. And we explained it that way. And I said at the time that it was about Rosh Kivanti, because what Hassan says, he says here, he says also in Mikates, that the Shem Shakai means that the world shouldn't expand too much so that you can't find Hashem. Hashem is always here. There's no place that Hashem isn't, because anything exists only because of his will. But he could be so hidden that you can't find him. But you can't find him. So Hashem said, die, enough. Don't expand any more world, right? Because otherwise it'd be too difficult for man to be able to find me within the world. That's the Shem Shakai. So Yaakov says to the brothers and to Yehuda last week, he says, "Kel Shakai, Tenach Harakamim," says Rashi, God who said to the world, "Don't expand any more because you won't be able to find me any longer," right? Don't expand any more. He should say, die to my tzaras. Says the Sfas Emes, what's the matter? Yaakov was a sissy. They all the Avos, Avram, Yitzchak, Yaakov, they knew that every experience they had was really, a seed for what's going to be needed for their children. Their strength, their resilience, their being able to stand the Sionos. They knew it wasn't just for them personally. They knew this is going to influence all the future generations of building the Jewish people. If Yaakov Avinu says, that he used this name over here, Shakai. And he, the idea is that the one who said to his world, enough, should say, yeah, to my tsaras, enough. And what he's saying was, because I know, if Binyamin disappears, I'm going to die. And that's how Yehuda understood it. And if he employed the name Kel Shakai with regard to his tsaras, just like the name Shakai is used with don't expand too far in the world, right? Because we won't be able to find you. They won't be able to find Hashem in the world. So too, if my tsaras be past this point, I won't be able to continue. I'll die. What happens at this point? Because Yosef says Fasemes. At this point, since Yosef heard that from Yehuda, that Yaakov had reached the end, then he decided to reveal himself. Right, because he knew that they would record that his job description must be complete in terms of hiding himself. He needs to reveal himself because he doesn't want to cause his father's death. Right, that's not part of the plan. So on top of page 2, this is where Yosef reveals himself. But Yomer Yosef el Achav, and Yosef said to his brothers, Ani Yosef, Ha'od Avi Chai. I am Yosef. Is my father still alive? V'lo Yachlu Echav La'Noso So. Right on top of page 2, right? Very tough thing. V'lo Yachlu Echav La'Noso So. They couldn't answer him. Ki Nivhalu Mipanav. They were totally befuddled. They were totally confused. They were totally agitated. They couldn't say anything. On this, right?
Shock.
Right, a shock, a state of shock. On this, the Medrash says, Oy lanu miyom hadin, oy lanu miyom atochach.
So why do you mean my father's still alive? What's the news? He's physically alive.
Yeah, he's asking, he's really quiet. I mean, the Beis Halevi has a word on this. The Medrash, the Medrash says,
but they wouldn't have been there, maybe.
Oy lanu miyom hadin, woe to us for the yom hadin, woe to us to the yom atochach. Beis Halevi says, because God is going to ask us that your actions are self-contradictory, just like Yosef said to them. Yosef said to them, right, you say my father's going to die. How did my father survive my disappearance? Right? You obviously weren't concerned about his dying then. When I disappeared, that's what he asked him, Oda Vichai, is my father still alive even after I disappeared? Son whom we learned, he passed on all the secrets to. I disappeared. You weren't concerned at that time, yeah, with what he called, with what would happen to him. Maybe God would get a heart attack and drop dead. Yeah. And now you're concerned? Aren't you being hypocritical? You tell me how concerned you are for his welfare? Where was your concern for his welfare when you sold me into slavery? So they recall the Medrash says, that's the base lady, says, Oy lono miyom adin, oy lono miyom atokocha. Woe to us for the Yom of Din, woe to us for the Yom of Tochacha, says the Beis Halevi, because God's going to say to us, tell me, you know, when you were Mekel over here, you said the reason was because of this, right? Right? When you did the other thing over the other day, the day before that, you said it was a different reason, right? Something was contradictory. Tell me, what do you really think? You're not consistent. So just like the tribes had nothing to say, because caught in their lie, right? So too, woe to us to the Yom of Din, woe to us to the day of reproach, when Hashem says, tell me something. What do you really think? I see one day, you know, it's like, you know, when we give musa to somebody, yeah, how could you daven like that? That's a way to daven. And the next day, we're in a rush, and we daven like we're Sherman through and going through Georgia. Right? So Hashem's going to say, I don't understand. The day before you said to somebody else, how could you daven like that? And today you daven like a total schlock. Right? Well, exactly what do you think? You're a hypocrite. That's the way the Beis Halevi understands it. The Sfasemes says, the oilan yom adin, oilan yom tochacha, is that here the brothers, all these years, they thought Yosef was their enemy. And now he reveals himself to them, right? Not in a state of vengeance, but reveals himself, I am your brother. You thought that I was your enemy, and all along I was your brother, right? You missed the point. You missed what he called the light of Hashem's presence that I was trying to bring into our midst. Instead, all you saw was darkness, right? And here's the light. He says, and that's what the Medrash says, Oy lanu yom hadin, oy lanu yom tochacha. When Hashem shows us all the light that was in our lives and all the opportunities in our lives, that if we just had worked to uncover that light, instead all we saw was, you know, this is no good and that's no good and the next thing is no good and this is messed up and that's screwed up and this is called terrible and this is horrible. We're always focused on only deficiency and we didn't see the light. How embarrassed we're going to be when Hashem says, look at the light over here and look at the light over here and look at the light over here and look at the light over here. Then Yosef says to them, he says, Ani Yosef, I'm Yosef. Hashem machartem osin mitzrayim. You sold me to Egypt. Sfasemis says, the second Sfasemis on page 2. Why is he heaping scorn on them? They're embarrassed enough. He has to repeat, really quote, you sold me to Egypt. I mean, they know they sold him to Egypt. Right? He says, no. He's trying to teach them, says Sfasemis, that look what happened. The greatness that I've risen to. You feel bad now. Oh, we sold him to Egypt. Who knows? He could have reached greater levels if he stayed with his father. What our sin will never be able to make up for it. He says, I achieved this level of greatness. Why? Because you sold me to Egypt. Good came out of what you did. I reached the degree. I reached the madrega. I reached the level that I reached. Bedakka, because you sold me to Egypt. It doesn't absolve you of what he called of your the bad thing you did, right? But don't think that you damaged me permanently, right? We have that on the contrary. Then Yosef says to them, after he reveals himself to them, they cry, etc. He sends them back with agolos. That's in the middle, on page 2 there it says.
With wagons,
to bring back his father. So the idea of bringing the wagons, Vaydabroi love, you see it said Pasuk Perak Memhei, Pasuk Chavzayim, Vaydabroi love, it's called Divrei Yosef, Hashem Divrei Aleim, Vayar Es Agolos Asher Sholach Yosef. Right? This is after Yosef sends them back with the Agolos, they return to Eretz Israel, and Yaakov sees the wagons. This is Vayar Es Agolos, the bolded line right there in the middle. Vayar Es Agolos. He saw the wagons, Asher Sholach Yosef. And then, and his spirit came alive again. Why? When he saw the wagons. Because he saw the wagons, like a big deal. You know, westward ho. Yeah.
Wagon train.
Boo!
Right? They saw the new world.
That's right. So he says, the wagons, right? The Medrash brings down the wagons. Because Egla Rufa, that was the last parsha that he'd learned with his son Yosef. And the idea of the Egla Rufa, right? The Egla Rufa is that, why do we bring the Egla Rufa? We say that we didn't cause this person's death. We gave him food, we gave him drink, and we gave him escort. And the Maharal explains the idea of escort. When you escort a person, you're showing a person's chashivus, showing a person's, what do you call it, you recognize his value, his worth, etc. That protects him. That helps protect him on his path. Because you're making a statement by your escorting him, however far you escort him. They say the Chazon Ish used to escort Rav Aaron Lipshtanman, yeah? He used to escort him, right? Like out the door, to show his chashivus. Once you stamp that person with the chashivus, so the rest of the world is afraid to touch him. So we bring the Egla Rufa to say we weren't, as it were, neglectful. We gave this person escort. He was killed nonetheless, but we weren't neglectful. We gave him escort. So by Yosef sending the Agolos as a remnant to Egla Rufa, he's making a statement to Yaakov, don't worry. What you escorted me with, you learned Torah with me, you taught me the Parsha Egla Rufa, that stamp remained upon me. I was protected. Don't worry, I haven't changed. And that's a nechama, that's a consolation to Yaakov, that his son Yosef, even though he's in the most tummy place in the world, in Mitzrayim, has remained the same. The Medrash brought by the Daskenim brings another pshat that when he saw the Agolos, it was a remez to the wagons that would be brought by the heads of the tribes in Sefer Bamidbar in order to be used to carry the Mishkan. They brought 6 wagons, right? Each grouping of 2 tribes brought a wagon together to what he called to use to carry the Mishkan, to carry the divine presence in the Jewish people. So Sfarno says over there in Parshas Noso that the symbolism of the tribes, of the heads of the tribes, each
six
one,
wagons with what?
They brought 6 wagons,
6 wagons
to help carry the Mishkan, right? When they traveled from place to place.
Right.
And there were 6 wagons, not 12 wagons. In other words, each grouping of 2 shvatim brought 1 wagon.
I see.
So Sfarno says over there to show that they're one, they're united. In other words, each one didn't bring his own wagon. Every head of a tribe, together with another head of a tribe, they brought together a wagon jointly. That's why there were 6 wagons, to show their unity. So the 2 sets of symbolism over here. One, Yosef reminds his father of Egla Rufa. Don't worry, I haven't changed. Your escort of the Torah to me remained, right? And that protected me. And that's consolation to his father. The other remez, the other hint, the other version of the imagery that he's sending his father, that he sends the Agolos, is one day your children, right, in the desert, the heads of each tribe, one tribe with the next tribe, will join together to bring Agolos, to sing, bring 6 Agolos, etc. That shows that there's unity. You were always afraid. That's what you were always afraid. Why you felt that you failed in your job because there was no unity. Don't worry. I've remained the same, and they are unified. Right? That was, he knew that was the biggest pachad, the biggest fear that Yaakov had, is that he failed his job. Why? Because what did it mean one of his sons would die in his lifetime? It means I botched the job of making his family that's going to be the core from which is going to come forth the Jewish people. So Yosef sends him a remez, he sends him the imagery to hint to him, I remain the same, I've not become a, God forbid, a rush, I still remain Yosef as a tzaddik. Your Torah that you learned with me swore to me all the way. And as far as the enmity, right? The lack of unity between us, I'm sending out Golas. We've come together again. Come together again. So let's just look, just conclude with this last Vasemis. See the Psukim in Mishlei. These Psukim are brought by the Medrash here. Remember, the idea of Yehuda was that he took responsibility. So Pasuk Psukim say in Mishlei, Bni, my son, the Shlomo Melech speaking in Mishlei. Imeravta l'reacha, if you become...
Who's he talking to in Mishlei?
In Mishlei, he's talking to the Jewish people.
Uh-huh.
He's talking to each one of us. He's Imeravta l'reacha, if you've become an orev, right, you've taken responsibility. So first, understand, I think you're taking responsibility for your soul. Take responsibility for your soul. And as a God gives us a soul, we take responsibility to return it back to Hashem clean. L'reacha, who's our best friend? Hashem. But also takaka lazar kapecha. But then what'd you do? You gave your handshake to a stranger. Takata lazar, you stuck lazar to a stranger, your hand. In other words, you took responsibility for your soul to your friend. You extended your hand, though, and made a deal with a stranger. Ayav Yitzhara. Right? No kashka v'imrei ficha, no karta v'imrei ficha. You're now snared in your words, right? Because you gave your hand to this stranger. Right? Asay zos, how are you going to fix it? How are you going to fix it? After all, you made a commitment to your friend. But now you stuck out your hand and made a handshake with a stranger.
He's
harah. He's
telling that to the Jewish people?
He's telling this to each person, right? Each person in your life.
Is there a specific reference to
something? No. No. I mean, the Medrash is going to say that what he called, that's part of the discussion over here. This is the struggle of Yehuda. Yosef, like we talked about before, Yosef is a Yosef HaTzadik. He lives in a world bathed in light. It's always clear. Yehuda is the Baal Tshuva. Yehuda is us. Yehuda is picking yourself up, putting the pieces back together after you messed up. That's Yehuda. That's why the Mashiach ben David is the ultimate Mashiach. It's the Mashiach ben Yosef, right? But not everybody can be picked up by Mashiach ben Yosef because he's just an incredible tzaddik. But Mashiach ben David from Yehuda is someone who's an incredible tzaddik, but he knows what it means to pick oneself up because he's erred. He knows what it means to make a mistake, to mess up, and to try and put yourself back together again. She says, what is it in Sholem Achsei Mishnah? It says, Zos Eifo Benibi Natsa Kibasa V'kaf Re'echal Leich Yisrapes Rahav Re'echal. Give yourself over completely to your friend, right? To your Re'ah, i.e. to the Rabbon Shalom. I took responsibility for my soul to my friend, to the Rabbon Shalom.
That's what you
said. These are the Pergum and Mishlei, right? Mm-hmm. So the Medrash says that this is, an encapsulation of what took place here with regard to Yehuda. So let's see. So see that fast fasemes. Vayigash, I love Yehuda. Yehuda, his name is built on hodah, admission. He admits, I had it wrong. Okay? Who called Ish Yisrael, and that's every Jew. Shamati, Madoni, Avi, Skeni, Mori, Ravi, Zechatzarek, Lurach, Lachayel, Mabo. I heard from my grandfather, Chidush Yerim, Shenikri Yehudim. Why are we called Yehudim? Hashem Shemodim Hashem Yisbrach. We admit to Hashem Yisbrach. Ham Kol Gavar Katan the Gadol Shiyodim Shakol Mimenu. We give praise to Hashem on everything, and when we mess up, we also admit to Hashem on everything. We don't try and hide it any longer. Like they say, Yecholim Ligash, right? And through our praise on the good that He's shown us, and through our admission on what we messed up in, then we're able to come close to Him. That's why it's Vayigash Elav Yehuda, hidden in the words, the psuk in there, it's referring to Yosef. But it's not just He's coming close to Yosef, He's also coming close to Hashem. Vayigash Elav, close to Hashem, Yehuda. Is an Eitzah B'chol Shah, Tsar. And this is an Eitzah the Medrash is giving us, right? Whenever any individual is in a state of Tsar, I screwed up, I messed up, my life is a shambles. Yeah. My star is punning. I feel like God is hiding His face from me. I feel distant. The whole Ish Yisrael, any Jew can follow this recipe. Ha'etza lizbate l'rotzon Hashem Yisbarach. The etza to get out of this is to totally give yourself over to Hashem. And it's rather than harping idea, right? I messed myself over, therefore God has abandoned me. I'm lost. My life is lost. My past is lost. My future is lost. My present is lost. It's all because I messed up. Right? Don't do that. Just give yourself over to Hashem. Aydei shemevara adam etzlo shegam betocha hester yishchius merotzon Hashem yisborach. Because you have to know that even in the midst of the darkness, Hashem has never abandoned you. As much as you may have messed yourself over royally 1,000 times, right? You just don't see Him, but He's there with you. Bezeo vayigash elav, that's the remez and the pasuk. Elav is not just to Yosef, it's la Hashem Yisbarach also. Hashem Yisbarach. Vegam kizeh nikra hagoshel Yosef. Also, technically, it's also coming close to Yosef, because Yosef, we said, is always living in a world of light. He's living in a world of clarity. Yosef ha'nekuda pnimius sheish Hashem Yisbarach. Yosef represents the point of light, that connection to that point of light that's in every object and every experience and every interaction in the world. Yosef, he's living with that always. He's living with that total clarity. Yehuda falls, but he knows how to pick himself up. Yehuda at that time, he was lost. Like, here it is. His worst dreams are coming true. He's really caught. Yosef is insisting that Binyamin remain there. Koshkosov man omar ladoni man anaver man estrak. Like he said in the end of last week's parsha, what could we possibly say to you? Well, how can we explain ourselves? Right? Hashem knows what we did wrong. I have nothing to say. V'haya atzaso ha'yidei ha'gosha zu l'pnimiyas ha'davar. He just gave himself over. I know there's light here. I give myself over to Hashem. I give myself over to finding that light, even if it means it's going to cost me my freedom for the rest of my life, etc. He lo hosif v'akosh. He didn't say anything. V'akshachazer al kol advarim la'atzmo li'os miyushornit lo l'kabel ratzon Hashem zarak. He didn't say anything new. He just went over all the points of all the events so he have it straight in his head so that he can make his peace with it and accept it b'simcha. And through the act of clarifying, it's all from Hashem, it's all from Hashem, it's all from Hashem, right? Even the pain that I'm going on over here, Hashem is with me, just he's the one who's the source of what he quoted. Even my sins have brought it upon me, but I know he hasn't abandoned me. When Yosef, who's like the nucleus of light, sees, yeah, that Yehuda is coming close, struggling, giving himself over to it, then Yosef reveals himself. Because he's come to Yosef. Umemela hotzio kol ish. Everybody else has to get out of the room when Yosef reveals himself. Shasoros chitzonios shein mastirin apimus nisvatlos. Now, right, there's just the light of Yosef and the strength and the koach of Yehuda to admit they messed up. Moshkosu b'Shabbos shemisyachnim b'roz de'echad, like on Shabbos. Al yidei habitul Hashem yizborach, right? When a person gives himself over on Shabbos, right? Admission, right? That Hashem, you're the source of everything. You're the source of my being. You're my destiny. You're with me every step of the way. And all the garbage that's been piled up on top of the person, inside the person's heart, right? It all just leaves him. He's there with Hashem. Because he admits. Be Adoni. Right? He said, Be Adoni. Be Adoni. So the Arizal says, there's a remez, Be Ado, followed by Noi. Inside of me is Hashem's name. I know Hashem is with me. He's inside of me. He never left me. Right? That's Yehuda. That's the admission. I thought, you know, it's darkness, it's the end. It's my fault, whatever. I've been abandoned and cast away. No. Be Adoni. Hashem is inside of me. He never leaves me. But MS, right? Cetera, we talk to Hashem. Adon Hashem, you keep up, okay? Right? Uba Medrash, after the brackets, right? The Medrash, Harav to L'Reacha, Rashi, Perish, Hashem Yisborach. The Arvus, I know I accepted, right? I accepted responsibility vis-a-vis my friend who's Hashem. I'll protect my soul. But Odom Ose, Inani Olam Hazeh. People do get involved in this world, and they distance themselves from it. I ate the Leda Shagamba Olam Hazeh, Yish Chiyus Yisborach, Lizbatel, La Shoresh. Right? Like we said before, and that's exactly what Yehuda did. He gave himself over. He admitted. He said, Hashem, I know that I have to just admit whatever I did was wrong and give myself over to you. Whatever my destiny will be, etc. And that's the way out of the darkness. That's the way out of the darkness. So that's something that Yehuda did, and that's something that every Jew can do all the time. Right? Feels like he's lost, he feels like he's darkness, even if it's because of his own sins. He gives himself over to Hashem and then he'll exit the darkness. Just like we feel on Shabbos. Just like you feel on Shabbos, right? Give yourself over to Hashem, all the garbage melts away. Right? All the bad moods, all the bad midos, all the worries, all the angers, all the frustrations, they all just melt away. Yehuda meets Yosef.